This is Joe Ferrillo, and welcome to the weekly sermon from Amwell Church of the Brethren. We are located at 40 Sandbrook Headquarters Road in Surgeonsville, New Jersey.
This week's message is presented by Pastor Bob DeSalvio and is entitled, The Courage to Go On.
I think it's fair to say this morning that we are living through what appears to be unprecedented times of change, where things that seem to be set in concrete are no longer set in concrete. They're kind of set in shifting sands, that we can wake up one morning and find that the whole world has changed. We see it happening a little at a time. Incrementalism is really what it's all about. You know, put the frog in the cold water, put the heat on underneath the pot, and before you know it, we have frog soup. He never knew what hit him. It seems like that in our time, in our society, and in our culture. Somebody said life is a continual process of getting used to the things that we never expected to happen. I don't know about you, but I know in my life there are things that I never anticipated. I could not plan for. I couldn't find a way to get around them before they happened. They just seem to have happened. It doesn't take a lot of learning about life to find out that life is filled with surprises. Have you ever been surprised in your life? I think you all have. Some people would love to know what the future holds. I wouldn't, except what the book says, that Jesus is coming back. I love that future. King David was one of those people. He wanted to know what the future was all about. He says this in Psalm 39:4, Lord, make me to know my end and the measure of my days, what it is that I may know how frail I am. Lord, let me go to the last page of the book of my life and find out how it all comes out. To a certain degree, I don't want to know about tomorrow. I know who holds tomorrow, and I'm putting my faith and my trust in his hands. But do we want to know what day we're going to pass? Do we want to know what sicknesses and illnesses and troubles come our way? There's plenty of time. We'll be ready when it comes. We don't know, and we can't know what lies around the next bend in life's roadway. And as that good song says, I know not what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. But we can be a little bit more prepared to face some of life's challenges and surprises, and we can go through the deep waters of those times and seasons and come out at the other side better and not bitter. So many people go through these surprises in life and these unexpected changes, and they're bitter about it for the rest of their lives. Prison, locked up. In the Bible, God provides the tools and the principles to live and cope in an imperfect world as imperfect people. With God's help, we can overcome and not be victims to the anger, the fears, the anxieties, the disappointments, the sorrows, the stresses, and the surprises of life. And this morning, I want to share with you five principles to go on when you are hit. Principle number one, expect trouble as an inevitable part of life. John 16:33, the first part of the verse, Jesus says this, in the world you shall have tribulation. The Greek word there means to be afflicted, anguished, burdened, and troubled. That's one definition of life. In 1981, there was a book entitled When Bad Things Happen to Good People, and the author was a man named Harold Kushner, and he writes this, quote, I've been hurt by life. It's not fair, and sometimes it doesn't make sense. Have you ever thought that? Have you ever experienced those kinds of feelings that led to that kind of a thought process? It just doesn't make any sense. Why am I in this situation? Why has this situation occurred to me? How many people have lived with pain from their youth? Things that have happened in their young life that have scarred them, it seems, forever. Living with that pain, living with that anguish. How many here have been wounded emotionally by friends, by family, even by people in the church? You're not exempt from life's punishing blows, but you're not alone when they hit. Principle number two, being faithful to God today will prepare you for what's coming tomorrow. Think about it. In the previously quoted John 16:33, in which Jesus warned that trouble was inevitable, he didn't end the verse there. He concludes it this way. He says this in John 16:33, the last half of the verse, "But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world." You're going to have trouble, but I don't want you to think that's it. You're going to have trouble, but I don't want you to think that those troubling times are exclamation points in your life. They do not mark who you are forever. They're not things that you have to carry around like so much weight on your back so you can't ever hold your head up and you can't ever smile. Look, I'm going to go through this thing with you. I want to encourage you. I want you to take heart, have courage, because together you and I can beat these feelings surrounding this particular circumstance. You're not alone. And James writes this in 4:8, "Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you." Sometimes you may feel that God's not there. Who moved? I can assure you it wasn't him. I'm sure he's in the same place he was the day that you asked him to come into your heart. He's in here. Perhaps you've built a wall around the inner recesses of your hurting heart. Perhaps you've built a wall around the deep recesses of your troubled mind. And you said, "Lord, that's not a place you can go. That door is closed to you and your healing power. I'm not going to let you in." And as long as you don't let him into those places that are the hurting places and the painful places and the anguished places and the despairing places, as long as you don't let him in, he can't get his hands around you and say, "Be healed." But that's what he wants to do. He wants to heal you and touch you. King David was going through a season of those kinds of despairs, and he writes a psalm in response, and I'd like you to share with me Psalm 69, 13-20. Let's stand together and read. Psalm 69, verses 13-20. "But as for me, my prayer is unto thee, O Lord, in an acceptable time, O God, in the multitude of thy mercy, hear me, in the truth of thy salvation. Deliver me out of the mire, and let me not sink. Let me be delivered from them that hate me, and out of the deep waters. Let not the water flood overflow me, neither let the deep swallow me up, and let not the pit shut her mouth upon me. Hear me, O Lord, for thy loving kindness is good. Turn unto me according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, and hide not thy face from thy servant, for I am in trouble. Hear me speedily. Draw nigh unto my soul and redeem it. Deliver me because of mine enemies. Thou hast known my reproach and my shame and my dishonor. Mine adversaries are all before me. Reproach hath broken my heart. I'm full of heaviness. I looked for some to take pity, but there was none, and for comforters, but I found none." You may be seated. "Found no one to comfort me." And when people came with their words, those words seem empty. They couldn't touch that place. That place deep inside. But who lives there? As a believer in Christ, the Holy Spirit lives there. He can work from the inside out to touch those places that nobody else can get to. And Paul and David writes these words in verse 13, "Lord, in your time and in your mercy, help me." Sometimes it seems God's delaying. It seems like he's not Johnny on the spot just when you need him. But in those periods of pause, while you go through this thing, God's teaching you lessons. There is something for you to learn during those times. Trust me more. Lean on me more. You're trusting that person who is not a godly person. They're leading you further away from your trust in me. Whatever it is, in those pauses, there's much to pray and much to learn. In verse 14, David writes, "I'm out of my depth. Don't let me sink in despair." That's how it feels sometimes. I'm so far into this. I've never been in this place before. I don't know how to handle it. And really, if we can remember, Jesus says, "I was there. I've been touched by all the things that you've been touched by. Let me lead you. Follow me. Verse 15, I feel like I'm drowning. I beg you to hold me up. 17, I'm in trouble. Stay near me. Let me feel your presence. 20, I'm brokenhearted, depressed, alone, comfortless. Have you ever been there? 2,000 years later, it seems that there was someone speaking. 1,000 years later, it seems there was someone speaking to David and speaking to us 2,000 years later when we have those feelings. It's Jesus. Here's what he says in John 14, 18. I will not leave you comfortless. You know what that word really means? I'm not going to leave you as if you were an orphan with nobody to care for you. And nobody put you in their arms. And nobody to hold you tenderly to their chest, to listen to your heart. I will not leave you comfortless like an orphan. I will come to you. You can count on him. In your mind, at the onset of a season of trials, you may feel certain that this illness, this trouble, this sorrow, this heartbreak, this fear or anxiety is going to pull you under, drag you down, crush you, or worse. In those times, you may have forgotten something very important, that God is in the mix, that God is at the helm. And what you need to do right here and right now during this season is to hang on. Sometimes that's all we can do. That's all the strength we've got, is just to hang on to the side of the ship while the storm is raging, just hanging on with our fingertips. Where your fingertips end is where God's strong grasp begins. Get a little perspective. There are some things happening that hurt really bad, but there are limits to what your trial can do and what it can't do. Remember these things. This trial can't cripple you. It can't shatter your hopes. It can't crush your faith. It can't destroy your peace. It can't overwhelm your courage. It can't steal your salvation. It can't break your relationship to Jesus Christ, and it can never conquer your spirit. It's not the size of the storm that matters. It's the size of your God. And you serve a mighty God. Life's challenges are met with a courage that comes from trusting the Lord to get you through. Principle number 3. When life crashes in on you, fall into God's safety net. God has provided some resources, a safety net that will help you break your fall. Galatians 6:2 says this, "Bear ye one another's burdens." The Greek word for burdens there means somebody that keeps you from being pulled down. A burden is something that will pull you under. When you can't stand on your own, draw on God's provision to hold you up. When you feel you can't take another minute of this situation or draw another breath, God says, hold on. You can get through this. When I would go through my periods with diverticulitis, when I was in such excruciating pain, I'd scratch the walls of the house. And all I would pray to God was, Lord, just give me 10 seconds with no pain. Just 10 seconds without any pain. And it wasn't long before those eruptions stopped. You know what 10 seconds without pain, after hours of pain, you know how that feels? Like an eternity. But that's what he gave me. Islands of painlessness in the midst of the islands of the mountains of pain. You can count on him to do that. I counted on him for that. Prayer, meditation on God's word, a godly brother or sister. Now is the time when you're going through these stress points and these difficulties. Now is the time for holding up and lifting up, not giving up. So many folks give up when they go through trials. As soon as something bad happens, they're out of here. Gone. It's like, whatever happened to all that faith you had in Jesus? Trouble comes. Well, I got news. Again, principle number one, trouble is going to come to every single one of us. 10% of life is what happens to you. 90% of life is what you do with it after it happens. What are you going to do? Don't give up. It's time for a genuine Christian love and kindness. It's time for a listening ear. It's time for prayer. It's time for a prayer partner. Now is the time for what Romans 12:15 says, rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. And do we know the difference? Do we know how to weep with people who are weeping and rejoice with those who are not? There are just some times when the best we can do is be present in somebody's life and wait for the right moment to do more. Sometimes words can't help. But probably what helps the most is something like this. If you need me, I'm here for you. Which is what Jesus is saying. When you need me, I'm here for you. But the question is, would you avail yourself of him? The question is, would you avail yourself of your brothers and sisters? The question is, will you avail yourself of the help that comes from prayer and meditation? Principle number four, the song we just sang. God will make a way where there seems to be no way. You know by now that one of my favorite verses is 1 Corinthians 10:13. There has no temptation taken you, no test that comes your way, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted or tested above what you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Three key promises in this verse. Number one, you're not the only person this ever happened to. You're not the only person who's gone through hard, crushing times. You know, that's why they have these support groups. Because people think that they're the only person in the world that's ever gone through what they're going through at that particular moment. And the problem with that kind of thinking is that you lock yourself in and you keep others away. Because this is your own private tragedy. This is your own private trouble. This is your own private stress point. This is the thing that you and you alone are going through and nobody would possibly understand. There are many people who will understand, but you've got to open up the door and let them in. God wants to help, but you've got to open up the door and let them in. You've got to give him permission. Because you see, he's not a bully. He doesn't force himself on you. Whosoever will may come. If you're sick, it says, you should call for the elders and they'll come and lay hands upon you for healing. So number one, you're not the only person this has happened to. Two, your test has a load limit and a time limit. In other words, we often hear it said, God will not allow you to take on more than you're able. He knows the limit. He knows how much you can take. You say, but I think I've well past that now, Pastor. A, you don't know. And B, we go back to who's carrying the load with you. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you. Let me lift up the load. Let me help you with the burden. In other words, you may only be able to handle 50 pounds of burden and trouble. But suppose I take half of it off you. Then you're down to 25, and we'll work together on the other 25. Give them a chance. And three, look for an exit sign, not to escape the test, but to get through the test safely. You're going to get through this. You're going to get through this. You've been through other things in your life. They seemed horrible. They seemed overwhelming. They seemed like you'd never be able to get through them, but you did. By God's grace, you're here. You can get through this if you don't give up. Principle number five, God has a purpose for you beyond this circumstance. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and build up or edify one another, even as you also do. As God brings you through each day of your test, you have a story to tell. You have a testimony. It's been said, without a testimony, without a test, there can be no testimony. In other words, unless you've gone through these hard times, you haven't got a story to tell about what it's like to go through hard times. But if there are other people going through a similar situation as you're going through, and they don't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and you do, you can tell them how much easier the load is with Christ than the load they're carrying without Him. You've got a story to tell. And it's a story that will be received when people are going through hard times and they know what you've gone through. When you've been diagnosed with cancer, and they were diagnosed with cancer a year ago, and you start talking to them in a way you couldn't before, when you can say, I know what you're going through. I'm living through it myself right now. But I want to tell you something. God is good all the time. Amen. People would say, well, you're going through this pretty well. I mean, you should be angry. I know when I was diagnosed with that, I got very angry. I know when this happened in my life, I was very, very angry. And you could look at them and say, well, here's what the Bible says. Be angry and sin not. I can be angry. Ephesians 4:26 says, be angry and sin not. And then it goes on to say, let not the sun go down upon my wrath. In other words, I may be angry initially, but I'm not going to stay angry, because that's not what the Lord wants for me. And the Lord's going to help me to get past the place where I'm so angry and get me to a better place. It may take time. It could take days, weeks, months, and years, but don't give up. It's the easy thing to do, to quit. You don't have to face it anymore in your own mind. But the funny thing is, if you don't bring it to a conclusion, it'll just keep coming back and haunting you. I learned not to bury my feelings and nurse my anger day after day. I hung on to God's peace and promises that we could get to a better, healthier place of forgiveness and joy. The truth is, life is hard, life can hurt, people can be cruel, trouble is inevitable, but it's also true. God is good all the time. Remember, all He asks you to do from time to time is not forget His promises. We do that all the time. We're so quick to remember the ills that have come our way, and so quick to forget the blessings that have come our way and the promises of God. This is a story about Dale Evans and Roy Rogers. Shortly after the death of their daughter, Robin, Roy Rogers and Dale Evans met a pale little boy who stuck out his hand and said, howdy, partner. He had been abandoned at Kentucky Motel, and he was physically and mentally disabled. Roy and Dale adopted him, calling him Sandy in honor of the color of his hair. He was bright-eyed and good-natured. During a Billy Graham crusade, Sandy became a Christian. Roy and Dale enrolled him in a military school, and he loved it. At 17, he enlisted in the Army to prove himself. Sandy worked hard and won respect. He was sent to Germany, then volunteered for Vietnam. Put your faith in the Lord, he wrote home, because I have found out He's always around when you need Him. All He asks in return is your devotion, end quote. Then one day, Dale Evans, returning from a trip, was met at the airport by her children. It's Sandy, Mom. He's dead. He had returned from 26-day maneuvers, dog-tired. His buddies had taken him out for the night, needling him to, quote, prove you're a man. Sandy, who couldn't tolerate alcohol, had given in. They fed him hard liquor until he collapsed. He was found the next morning dead in his bunk. Dale Evans survived the sorrow only by drawing strength from Scripture, particularly from Job 13:15. Tragedy in a Christian's life is a refiner, she wrote. God has not promised an easy way, but a peace at the center of the hard way. The clouds of sorrow have been heavy, but I've reached a point of no return in my Christian experience. And with Job, I can cry, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. If courage is defined as grace under pressure, Jesus leaves you today with this thought again. 2 Corinthians 12:9. My grace is sufficient for you, and my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Jesus will give you whatever you need to get through today. Through it all, God is trying to teach us something about ourselves or the world around us. So try to remember, when things get rough, hang on. Help is on the way. And remember, the Lord will give you the courage to go on. Amen. Let's pray. Heads bowed and eyes closed. As I looked out at this, as your faces this morning, I saw tears in many of your eyes. And I'd like to pray for whatever it is that you were tear-filled about. I know the Holy Spirit works to touch people's hearts and minds, and you may be going through something right now that you just need just another boost of prayer, and I'd like to pray that prayer with you this morning. So if you want a prayer, if you want me to pray for you right now, would you raise your hand? Yeah. Yeah. I see so many hands this morning. Oh, Father, these hands that have been lifted, this is a cry for help, Lord. This is us surrendering ourselves to you, saying, I just can't do this on my own anymore. I just can't make it through another day, it feels like. But with your help, I know I can. And so I pray, Father, that the end of these hands that have gone about as far as they can go in whatever their particular situation is, Lord, would you reach out and touch those folks this morning? Give them an extra measure of your strength where they are weak, an extra measure of your peace where there is no peace, a greater degree of hope where there seems to be hopelessness creeping in, courage where they feel faint. Whatever it is this morning, Lord, touch them at the point of their needs. Lift them up and lift them high. I thank you that we can come to you. I thank you, Lord, that we can trust you. I thank you, Lord, that we know that there's nothing in this world that we can experience that you won't go through that time with us and get us to the other side safely. And I pray all these things believing in Jesus' name. Amen.
Audio files, CDs, and notes of our weekly services are available on our website, www.amwell.org. Or by calling 609-397-4842 and ask for CDs by the title or by guest speaker. Please don't forget to leave your name, address, and phone number.